Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, I'm Tristan Riddell.
And I'm the girl.
And this is Nerd Nuptial episode 86. And if this is your first time listening in, it is about two married people looking at their life through a nerd lens. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I really am. I'm loving life and things are going really well for us. And
yeah.
There's never really a time I don't say that. And I think that's another reason why I'm so happy that I get to say that, because our little girl, our little Ripley, and this is a big part of the show, if this is your first time listening, is we talk about our personal lives and how it affects our media watching and how it affects our reviews and how we look at pop culture and everything like that. Our little girl, Ripley, is about to turn one.
Yeah, I feel like we blinked and now. I mean, everyone says that, right? Where, like, you know, the first year goes so fast, but it really did go really fast.
It really did. Like, because we have a picture of her as an embryo.
Right.
A literal embryo. Because longtime listeners know that we did IVF in order to get Ripley here.
Yeah.
And you've heard our baby story. And if you haven't, we definitely recommend to go back and listen to our previous episodes and hear our baby story, because you hear all about it and when she got here and everything, and the drama that it took to get her here and the drama that she caused when she got here. And what you can do is you can go to thenerdparty.com/nerdnuptial, check out all of our previous episodes that way. You can listen on the website or listen on iTunes or Blog Talk Radio or Stitcher or anywhere that you can get your podcasts. And you can also write us an email if you want to hear us talk about a certain thing, or if you have any comments about what we've said. Go to thenerdparty.com/contact, select Nerd Nuptial from the drop-down menu, fill out the form, it'll send us an email. You can also find us on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. We are all over the place. But yeah, she's turning one, we blinked, because I remember actually sitting in the hospital with her in my arms, and I recorded an episode of Nerd Nuptial on my phone.
Right, in the NICU, with all the beeps and everything.
All the beeps and the everything in the background, the nurses running and everything like that. It wasn't really an episode, it was an announcement. Like, because we talked about her baby story so much,
yeah,
I felt like I had to give the listeners something.
Right. So you're a podcast with Ripley.
It's true. Like, that
without the girl.
Yeah, it was sans girl.
That's right.
But with
the
Ripley,
new girl. That's right.
The new girl for the first time. Girl 2.0.
That's right.
As we've talked about. So with, I remember the first movie that we saw when she got here, because we live near family. Thankfully, we live near family, and they give us a lot of breaks, and they come because they want to babysit.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
They absolutely want to babysit.
Ripley is in demand.
And so I think the first movie we saw was the Batman Lego movie.
Yeah.
In the theater. Is Black Panther going to be the first movie we see in the theater this year?
I think so.
In the new year?
In the new year. I think so. Yeah.
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 I feel like that has some good symmetry, because like the first movie was about a superhero all in black.
That's right.
And now this movie this year is going to be all about a superhero all in black.
Yeah, I hope it's better than the Lego movie.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, like that movie got a lot of praise, but I don't see it. Like, the first act was great. The first act was hilarious.
Yeah.
But then just petered out.
We're excited, though. We're going to see it soon. Black Panther, that is.
I'd say, like, yeah, I have a lot. I hope I'm not living it up too much.
We watched the trailer a lot because you like that song that they used.
I love those songs that they used in all of the trailers. And I just love how it's edited together.
That's right.
And it makes me want to edit my own Black Panther trailer. But I don't have the footage, so. But, one thing, it got me thinking about, we haven't really watched that many movies this year. Like,
yeah, we've been like on a TV kick right now.
Yeah, we're very much on a TV kick right now. Like, what have we been watching?
Well, we, I think right after the first of the new year, like right around the Golden Globes when we saw some of the winners, we decided to start watching The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Amazon.
That's right. Now, I had a friend at work come up to me And he asked me like every other day, have you watched it yet? Have you watched it yet? Have you watched it yet? And I kept having to tell him no, just because, you know, life was getting in the way.
Right.
But he knows that you and I are big Amy Sherman Palladino fans because we're big Gilmore
Girl
fans.
Right.
And so he said, it's by them. It's by the same people. And so it's done in the same style of writing. And so it's really fast and really witty. You got to watch it. And we finally did. And on top of that, somebody actually wrote us on Twitter saying like, hey, I wonder, like, is Nerd Nuptial going to be reviewing
right.
The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel?
Because we love Gilmore Girls, right.
I was just like, okay, well, we have to watch it now.
Right.
Like, personal friends are saying it. People online are asking us. And so, yeah, we did watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to spoil anything.
No. So, like, some people are asking us if we were going to do, like, a review of it. Well, it's been out for a while, so it feels a little weird doing that.
Yeah, it always feels, like, whenever we're behind the times on getting to something, like, unless we pretty much only like doing reviews if something just came out that weekend or that week.
Right. So it gives people maybe some time to watch it, but at least it's, like, fresh. It's something that are interested in.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's just, like, no one wants to hear our review of Sicario, even though we watched it and we're going to be talking about it. They don't want an entire episode about Sicario.
Right, right.
Because we're just like, oh, wow, way to be 2 years behind the times, guys. but yeah, with Mrs. Maisel. It's the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Yeah, just call Mrs. Maisel.
I'm just going to say Mrs. Maisel, yeah. So for those of you who don't know, that the show is about, it takes place in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all, we're not spoiling anything. This is all the premise of the show. It's a husband and wife, and the wife is very supportive of the husband. Like, the husband is a very successful businessman, but he wants to be a stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
And so he trolls the nightclubs at night, trying to get time, like begging to get a good time slot, and she'll have baked goods and casseroles and everything like that to bribe the owners of the clubs to get her husband better time.
Right.
And she takes notes for him.
I know,
like,
it's so cute.
Like, oh, you got a great laugh at this line. Maybe you should extend that. Let, you know, pause a little bit. Like, it's really industrious and, like, very type A personality, mm-hmm. but very, very supportive. And she finds out that he ripped off all of his material from Bob Hope.
Right. And then, like, things start to crumble. And she decides, hey, actually, I'm the funny one. And kind of by mistake, gets on stage and kind of in like a drunken
situation. Her husband leaves her.
Right. After her husband leaves her, and, you know, after she's been so supportive and so, you know, good to him. And then she decides, hey, you know what? Like, I could do this.
You're like, yeah, I'm pretty good at this. Like, she got uproarious laughs. And
right.
And I think she even, like, exposed, like, took her top off or something right. like that. And
goes
then
to prison.
Spent a right. night in jail.
Right.
Not prison.
No, I'm sorry. To jail.
Like, that is harsh.
It's the 50s.
Like, yeah. Like, you expose your tatas in the 50s, you go straight to prison. It was a different time. Communists were everywhere. Just flashing people. But, yeah. So... And that's kind of the story, is her getting her start trying to become an original comedian.
Right.
And Alex Borstein, who most people know her as the voice of Lois from Family Guy, she's in it. She runs a nightclub and she wants to become a stand-up manager.
Right.
So she sees something special in this character.
Wasn't she supposed to be Suki in Gilmore Girls?
Yes. Originally, she was going to be Suki.
Right.
But I can't remember the reasoning
behind.
There's
some type of... scheduling issue.
I think she got pregnant or something like that, and they couldn't rely on her, or she said she couldn't anymore because she was pregnant. I'm not quite sure.
Okay, something.
Because I think she's friends with Amy Sherman Palladino.
Okay.
I think it was very amicable.
Okay.
Whatever happened.
Yeah. Because I think she's in the very first pilot of Gilmore Girls, if you remember.
Well, she was the harp player.
Yeah, yeah, right?
Is I that think the... so.
Yeah.
She was a harp player, and then she popped up later on as the costume designer,
that's
but like
right.
in old age
yeah,
makeup
right.
and everything like that. But anyway, like, Alex Borstein, I think, was the funniest thing of the show.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And so she was the manager, and of course, like, the lead character, Mrs. Maisel, is like, her parents are very funny. They live just a few floors down.
I liked that part of the show,
from
too.
Where she lives, mm-hmm. and it's about her journey becoming a stand-up while dealing with divorce and splitting up with her husband and
right.
two kids in New York. And it was a very cool atmosphere because, like, women didn't really do this in the 50s.
Right.
And while going through divorce, that didn't really happen to, like, of course it happened, but it wasn't as accepted as it is today.
Right, exactly.
And so all of this put together with an Amy Sherman Palladino script was a very interesting concept, but it kind of missed the mark with us.
Yeah, and yet, like, I keep thinking about the show, so I don't know. Like, I'm sure they're going to have a second season. I think I would still watch it.
I
would do a second season. Like, I didn't hate it or anything like that.
I didn't either.
I really like Alex Borstein's character. Like, she was definitely my favorite. Actually, the relationship between Mrs. Maisel, like Midge. And she was definitely my favorite. But I agree. Like, there were certain aspects of it that I was just kind of like, eh. Like, we kept saying, we were like, I don't really think her stand-up's that funny.
I think that's the biggest problem, is that I thought the concept of the show was great.
Yeah.
The writing was great.
Right.
The characters were great. But my least favorite character was the protagonist.
Right. Yes.
I didn't think she was funny.
Yeah, like, when she would get up and do her stand-up, even, like, in her, like, you know, a lot of times she was, like, drunk when she was up there, like, kind of let loose or whatever. I was just like, is it funny?
Is it supposed to be funny? Is it supposed to, like, not be funny?
I'm not really laughing that much. Whereas I found a lot more humor in the relationship she had with Susie, which was Alex Borstein, or, like, with her parents. Like, I found that relationship way more interesting.
Yeah, her parents were weird and eccentric and fun.
Right, yeah.
And just, and also she's Jewish and her family's Jewish. And so that added another layer.
Yes, absolutely.
Within New York and the 50s, what that was like.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all very interesting.
Right, it was. Like, I thought it was interesting. Amy Sherman Palladino must come from money, because, like, all of her protagonists seem to, like, be in these very, like, crazy places. In fact, like, there was even a comment in this show where, like, Alex Borstein enters into Midge's apartment. She's like, where are we?
Yeah.
Like, the apartment is huge, especially for New York.
Yeah.
Like,
she's
that,
like, I'm
size...
gonna get lost.
Right, exactly.
And that's the thing, is that, like, her protagonists, like, are around a lot of money, but don't have money.
Right, yeah.
Like,
that is interesting.
Like, Lorelai and Rory never had money, but they were always around it. Like, Christopher got money eventually, and her parents were incredibly wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And Rory went to Yale surrounded by a wealthy boyfriend and wealthy friends. And
which adds, you know, like, you can have a little more fun in those environments, I guess, because, you know, they can do crazy things.
And
but...
then Mrs. Maisel, like, I don't know how they got their money. Like, I don't know how Midge's parents got money, because he was just a professor, and she stayed, and the mom stayed at home. So there had to have been family money that they weren't discussing, because they also had a maid that worked every day in New York. And he's a professor.
I was like, that doesn't really compute there, but that's okay.
I don't know how that worked. And so, like, apparently Midge's husband's, like, her in-laws had money, because he was a self-made man, had a very successful business.
Mm-hmm.
And so apparently, and, like she was about to get kicked to the curb. Because, you know, the apartment that she lived in wasn't in her name, and so she didn't have anywhere to go. She didn't work, and so it was another situation of being surrounded by money but not having it.
Well, and it was interesting, like, the philosophy of, like, you know, now that they're possibly getting divorced or whatever, like, she has to go back to work, and that's just, like, the worst thing, you know, to go to work in the first place, even, because when you went to college, it wasn't really. At least this character, when she went to college, she got a random, like, history degree. It was, like, Russian history degree.
Russian literature.
Literature, yes.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Russian literature degree.
Right. So she probably didn't plan on going and teaching Russian literature. She was going to college because that's what you do.
She's getting her MRS degree.
Right, exactly. So just interesting, like, the times, and obviously, like, these characters are, like, breaking the mold for women and everything like that.
One layer that I found very interesting that we all know about and heard about and read about was when the husband left, everybody looked at her like, well, you got to get him back. What did you do?
Right. Yeah. It was like, you go put on your prettiest dress, make yourself look nice.
And go get him back.
Right.
And like from a modern perspective, you're just like, what the hell is right. wrong Right.
Like,
you?
Are you kidding me? No
Support
way.
Support this woman.
Right. Like, he's the problem,
he's
not
the
you.
Jerk.
Yeah.
He's the jerk. He's the one who left his wife with two kids.
Right.
And like to
like,
sleep
I don't
with
do
the
this
secretary.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that guy was such a tool.
So obviously, I mean, we're talking about it. It was well,
we
interesting. Well,
I'm totally just messing with it.
It was interesting.
Yes.
But I think the biggest thing that we had a problem with was I was like, well, I don't really think she's that funny.
I didn't like Midge as a character.
Yeah.
Mrs. Maisel.
And
yeah.
She bothered me sometimes. Like, I do not know why they gave her kids other than for the time period, because she didn't really spend time with her kids. And in fact, there was a moment where she was kind of like, you know, could I return my kids? There was even a moment in her, like her stand up where she's like,
yeah,
you know.
I think that what's interesting is that when you have a sitcom, like say you have a long running sitcom, like if you this happens in every other show where your female protagonist in real life gets pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And so you either like hide the pregnancy best you can by giving them big purses and big sweaters.
Right.
Or you work it into the storyline
right.
where that character has a child.
Right.
And sometimes...
Or they're fat. Like
or
in Frasier,
yeah.
where
Daphne
just got fat. She just was like happy and eating all the time. I was like, that's cool.
And so that happens sometimes. And it like sometimes writers feel like they're written into a corner when they write the baby in, because then now those characters are parents. And so you have to consider the kids into the storyline.
Right.
And a lot of times you never see the kid. They're just they're an afterthought. They're like, oh, well, you know, like when he's at home.
Right.
You know, like, or like, oh, we got a babysitter. That's it. Like one episode, you get a reference to the kid and
right.
that's it. And you never see them.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, well, what's the point of writing them in the story? With Mrs. Maisel, it felt like we were in the middle of a run and they're like, well, we have to have the kids in there, but let's just write them out as soon as we can. Even though they started with the kids.
Yeah, it was strange. I mean, I get that, like at that time, she would have had kids.
She would have had kids.
I get that.
You get married, you have kids.
Right. But it just kind of felt like an inconvenience to the plot.
She never spent any time with him. And her kids had no lines.
Well, not that, that's not true. Like, the little boy was kind of funny with the howdy-doody stuff. Like,
he said, like, three things.
I
like,
know.
It was a scream.
I know, but...
But it was just...
And maybe it'll become something more.
But she was out every night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's at the clubs every night, like, performing.
Right.
And then during the day, like... You saw her take the baby in a pram once, and that's it for like 8 episodes. Like, she barely spent any time with the kids.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was just one of those things where you're like, I don't understand story-wise why they were there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so I think that's the thing, is that like it was a good concept, didn't like the protagonist. But you know what? I've watched shows, I've stuck with shows before where the protagonist was my least favorite character, like How I Met Your Mother.
Oh.
Ted was probably my least favorite character.
He was your least favorite.
I still liked Ted, though.
Yeah.
But he was my least favorite character.
I liked her fine.
Dawson's Creek. Dawson was so whiny. Everybody else was way cooler than Dawson. But yeah, I don't know. I think I'll give it a second season.
Okay.
I think talking with you and talking it out is just kind of like, okay, maybe I will.
Yeah. All right.
Something I might not give a second season to is American Gods.
Yeah, so we're late to the party on this.
Very late to the party on this, too.
But we had, like, a stars. We, like,
Yeah, okay. So I got my mother a couple of months of stars so that she could watch Outlander. She's a big Outlander fan. I had no idea it was so smutty. And a little embarrassed that she watches this and read that. Like... I even told my sister, I said, I was like, hey, Ashley, like, I'm going to get mom this pass on Starz so that she can watch the show. She's like, oh, okay. I was like, why are you being weird? She's like, you know what's in that, right? I go, no. And she describes it. I was like, good Lord. It's like, yeah, she was reading those novels when we were growing up. I was like, no.
You're going to get in trouble.
She listens to the show.
You're going to get in trouble.
I'm going to get a text.
I'm not saying a thing.
I'm going to get a call. But I love you, Mom. And I hope you enjoyed the Starz package. But
We did.
Yeah. And so that's the thing. Like, we share a lot of the same accounts.
Right.
Like, a lot of our family does. Like, yeah. Like, our family has access to our movies. Mm-hmm. And they have access to our Amazon Prime.
Right.
And so I just subscribed to Stars on our Amazon Prime and said, like, here you go. Like, I'll give you a couple months. And so I accidentally spent, like, a third or fourth month. I was like, crap, I forgot to cancel it.
Right.
I was like, well, let's use it for ourselves. Mm-hmm. It, like, if we still have it, let's use it. And what's on there that we could watch? And the only thing that I even thought about watching was American Gods.
Well, it was a big deal when it came out. And you read the book, right? Or most of the book?
I read most of it. I couldn't finish it because I didn't really like the book. And so I thought maybe... I was like, okay, well, like, I liked the concept of the book, but I didn't really like the execution. So maybe I'll like the TV show because it's totally, it's the same story, but totally different mediums.
Right.
You got to translate it. Maybe I'll like the translation better. But then good friend of the show, John, John Mills, Kessel Junkie, he watched it and said it was just like crazy over the top violent and just not something that he was digging on. And I was like, well, if John is saying that, you know, I'm probably not going to like it either. But I just thought, let's just give it a shot. We had some extra time. We needed a new show.
Right, right.
And
that was pretty, I think that was maybe the first thing we watched this year.
Before we watched Maisel.
Yeah, I think so.
Was American Gods.
Mm-hmm.
And we finished it. Mm-hmm. I think it was 10 episodes.
Yeah.
Something like that. What did you, like, as someone who hasn't read the book, what did you, oh, for people who don't know, American Gods is a Stars show with a Z, Stars with a Z, where it's about where every god is real.
Right.
Zeus, Odin. You know, like even Mesopotamian gods, Egyptian gods,
right?
Leprechauns are real. Basically, it's just like everything exists just underneath,
right?
In this society that we're not seeing,
mm-hmm.
and it's about new gods and old gods, and how they survive is through worship. And so, if you have somebody like Zeus, they're not getting worshipped anymore, and right. so they're kind of struggling. So you would see somebody like Zeus as like a homeless person on the street.
Right.
But then you have new gods like television or technology. Right. Those are the new gods of America.
Right.
And so they're thriving. They're doing well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's a very interesting, fascinating concept because we are worshiping media. We're worshiping television.
Right.
But we're not worshiping Zeus and Ra and people like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's about one man's journey where it's a guy named holy crap, what's his name? It's a weird name. Shadow.
Shadow Moon.
Yeah, it's a guy named Shadow Moon who just gets out of prison and he's released early, a couple days early, because his wife dies in a car accident. And then he meets a guy named Mr. Wednesday, and all of a sudden his life changes. He starts seeing crazy things. He meets a real life leprechaun. And he almost dies, and like fantastical things that are happening that should not happen.
Right.
And he gets introduced into this world of gods. And it's written by Neil Gaiman, who's a huge icon in the literary world and in the nerd community. And he has a lot of great stuff out there. But for some reason, I just didn't dig the book. It was just, it's just not my thing. But as someone who hasn't read the book, what did you think of the TV show?
Well, I think that the style of the show was very unique, and I think that they,
Brian Fuller.
Yeah, they, I mean, he knows what he's doing. Obviously, he's got a lot going on. He's got his hand, it seems like, in everything.
He's good at starting things, not so much sticking with
it. That's true. Well, this was the start, so it felt like, I mean, it was interesting, because it was like, we kept looking at each other, I was like, I don't really like this, but I want to keep going.
I had the same thing. It was just like, you even gave up and said like, okay, I'm just going to fall asleep. Just like I even said, I was like, I'm not going to continue. And you're like, okay, I'll just fall asleep. But I kept going.
Yeah. And then I like woke up and I was like, oh, that's interesting.
You saw something. Yeah. You're like, holy crap, what does this mean?
Right.
And yeah, I think that's the thing that you hit it on the head, is that I'm not really liking this, but I have to keep going.
Yeah, I have to see it through.
It's fascinating. It's more interesting than it is good.
Yes. And like, I liked the character of Shadow.
Yeah.
And I thought that, like, I think actually, like, my favorite part was, there's a situation, I don't want to give, like, I mean, most people have, like, seen it probably already, but I don't want to give something away. But there's a moment with, like, the wife, and you know, I'm not gonna say whether it's like a flashback or whatever. Like
in the show,
it's
they have flashbacks. Have false memories, they have dreams, they have like there's right. so many weird things going on.
But there was a lot of weird things that happened to her in an otherworldly way. And the way that they handle it was just they were making light of it, and it was just really funny.
There was a scene,
yeah,
a very grotesque, dark comedy.
It's very dark comedy with her, especially.
That was just absolutely hilarious. Like, I was in stitches because it was so gross and so funny and so demented. You were shocked into laughter. You're like, what am I seeing right now?
Exactly.
Like there were times when you're just like, this is good, this is funny. And then there was other times when you're like, this is so violent, it's like Quentin Tarantino, where it's over the top.
Definitely.
Like, you kind of disconnect from it because it's so violent.
That's true. It almost like in a... You're right. Like, I didn't even notice the violence at
it's
a certain
point. It's not realistic
point.
Violence.
No.
It's not realistic violence in the least.
No. And, like, I mean, there's, like, a very sexual parts of it. Yeah. You know, in particular, like, there's one character that, I mean, if you've watched the show, you understand. And, you know, like, no one needs to see that.
Yeah. And there's also other stuff that, like, you didn't even see where, like, I fast-forward it. Like, I just told you about it. I'm just like, yeah, so that scene happened. Like, it is a very...
There's nothing left to the imagination.
No, it's beyond raunchy. But, because I read the book, I knew when the scenes were coming. I was oh, this scene's happening. Skip, skip, skip. Close eyes. Skip, 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 skip. Because I have delicate sensibilities. As people know.
Yeah, but I don't know if I would do a second season.
I don't think I'm going to do a second season.
I don't think I would. Just because, I mean, the story's not finished, but at the same time, I'm like, do I need to waste my time? Probably not.
And also, you have to pay for it because we don't have Stars.
That's true.
And I'm not going to pay for Stars in order to watch it.
Yeah.
Like, maybe down the road if years we wanted from now, to... if it's open.
Right.
Or out or something, or we could do like a free trial under your name or something, you know?
That's probably about it.
And then like we'll binge it or something, or right. see, or just, I don't know. It's not something that I feel, it's not a must watch.
No, like when the next season comes out, I'm not going to be like, oh my gosh, we need to get Stars right now.
Yeah.
Whereas, thankfully we still have HBO because we renegotiated our package. Yeah. But if that was the case with HBO, I'd be like, no, we have to pay for HBO. Now we need to budget HBO into our plan.
I'll be honest with some folks. So we had HBO for a long time, but it was not our login. So your grandparents
would
never watch HBO in a million years, and they got it for free with their package, with their Comcast package,
right?
Which I set up for them, by the way. And I was like, are you ever going to use this? And they're like, no. Like, you're like, no, why would we watch it? And I said, would you mind if I use your login instead? And they're like, yeah, sure. Yeah, go for it. And HBO doesn't care. And I think they've gone on record and said that they don't care. And so we used that for the longest time. And that's how we watched Westworld. But then something came up where they needed to renegotiate their contract. And so I renegotiated their contract for them.
And they said, no HBO.
Yeah, that's what they said. They're like, okay, so I want to do this package and this for this price and everything like that. And they said, they're like, okay, well, that doesn't come with HBO. I was like, are you sure? Because, like, I have to give them the best package that they can.
Right.
And that didn't include HBO.
Right. So you had to be a little selfless there.
I had to be a little selfless there. I was like, are you sure? Like, they're like, no, but you are going to get this network that's exclusive for Comcast that nobody wants or likes. I'm like, could I trade that for HBO? Like, no, sir, but I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to give you a week free of HBO. I'm like, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Comcast, for the free week of HBO.
But we renegotiated our package, and now we have HBO because that was basically a requirement.
But... And that's what I told him. I got on the phone. I was like, okay, give me the... Get rid of all my channels, but give me HBO. They're like, are you sure? It's like, I don't watch TV.
We don't even have like our TV set up. It's only with our our Apple TV.
Yeah, the cable box is in the basement. I've never hooked it up.
We don't have it.
The only reason why we have cable is because we have to. Like, they do that double play thing or whatever. They do a bundle
right
just so we can get internet. But yeah, so we have HBO, so we don't have to worry about that. And so we'll get Westworld. Right. But you're right. Like, if Westworld came out.
Yeah, it would be a problem.
Like, we'd have to budget that. So another thing, like, we're catching on all services here. So we're talking about, we watched an Amazon Prime show. We watched a Star show. And now we're about to talk a Hulu show.
Yeah.
We're late to the party in all of these.
We really are.
But none so much as this one.
And one of the reasons why we have Hulu right now is because we didn't have Hulu for a while. Mm-hmm. We've like kind of, we keep going back and forth between having Hulu and not having.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing though, is Hulu is like taking all of
the
good shows.
From Netflix.
Yeah. So like we longtime listeners will know we fall asleep to cartoons. So like things like Family Guy, American Dad,
Cleveland Show,
right?
Bob's Burgers,
right? Those type of things.
Futurama,
right? And Hulu now has all of them, and they're even taking things like Lost and some other shows too along with them. So they're now much more competitive.
They're very much more competitive.
Netflix. And so we're like, well, I got to have my cartoons to fall asleep.
Yeah. And it would not be in like one thing that we could do. And one thing we started to do was like when they took away, like, because the first thing they took away was Bob's Burgers. And we freaked the hell out.
We did. You bought all of them.
I bought every single season on iTunes. I didn't even look at the price.
No, you didn't care.
I just went boom, 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 and bought them.
That was probably irresponsible.
Probably.
Because they'll probably always be streaming. But that's okay. We have them now.
We have them, so we don't have to worry about it. But the thing is, and then they started taking more things, and I was just like, I can't do this. I can't afford to buy every single season of the shows that we
right,
like.
Right, right.
And so, like, say I dropped $100 on one show, seven seasons would be, more than $100 of one show. But then Hulu is $12 a month.
Right.
$10 a month, something
like that.
Without
commercials.
Without commercials. And so, for 1 year, what we dropped on one show for 1 year of Hulu, we could get whatever show and whatever movies are on Hulu for that year.
Exactly.
And so it just doesn't make financial sense to purchase a TV show if it's streaming.
Well, and also Hulu, just like Amazon and Netflix, obviously The Handmaid's Tale like took everything this past year.
Yeah, lots of awards.
You know, so they're having their own original programming as well. So we're like, okay, well, let's watch some more of their originals. And we watched 11-22-63
with James Franco.
Right.
And it's about the assassination of John F. Kennedy.
Kind of, yeah.
So the plot is James Franco is in 2016, mm-hmm. and he's James Franco. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, kind of. He is.
James Franco as an English teacher. But he is friends with a guy who runs a diner. And the closet in the diner, the broom closet, goes back to 1960.
Yes. October 20th, 1960 or something like that.
Something like that. And we never question it.
Nope.
Like, it's just how it is. Like, they don't talk about the science. They don't talk about, like, how that happened or why it happened or anything like that, which I kind of appreciated. It was just like, you accepted the premise.
Right.
Like, I discovered a wormhole.
Right.
Or, like, a time suck,
right.
Whatever.
And the idea is, like, if you go into the time...
They called it the rabbit hole.
The rabbit hole. If you go into the rabbit hole, then you can change things.
Mm-hmm.
And things will be different in 2016.
If you come back.
If you come back. But if you go back again, then it erases everything you just did.
Yeah.
Which is a very convenient plot device.
I thought it was cool that like that it's like there's certain things there's certain shows and movies and novels and everything like that where like you discover a time portal.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is not anything new.
No.
It's not man-made, like, and many scientists believe that if there is time travel, it will never be able to be man-made. It'll be you'll discover it like a wormhole, like an Interstellar.
Okay.
But this time portal only goes to 11:58 a.m. in May 5th, 1960.
Was it May? I thought it was October.
I thought it was May.
Okay, whatever.
It goes in, but it only takes you to that time. And you can go back whenever you want. You could spend 5 minutes there.
Mm-hmm.
You could spend 5 years there. Doesn't matter. But if you go back through the rabbit hole, it'll only be two minutes.
Right.
2 minutes will go by in 2016, but however long goes by. But if you go back, you'll go right back to 11:58, May 5th, 1960.
Right.
And everything will be erased.
Right.
And so it was very cool premise. And it's based off of a Stephen King novel.
Right.
Is that right?
Right. Yes, it is.
The guy is just a fountain. But yeah, so it's a, like the guy who runs the diner got cancer and couldn't go back. Like the reason why he kept going back is that he kept trying to figure out ways to stop Lee Harvey Oswald or whomever killed JFK.
Well, because there's a lot of conspiracy.
Was there a second shooter? Right. Were they on the grassy knoll? Was it Lee Harvey Oswald? Was he a patsy?
So it's one of those things where, like, you know, he's trying to figure out those things. But then, like, when James Franco goes, you know, he's, like, trying to kind of fulfill the wish of this guy who, you know, is suffering from cancer. And so he's trying to, like, do that as well.
Right.
He kind of gets sidetracked along the way.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that, like, it takes you to 1960, mm-hmm. but JFK didn't get assassinated until the end of 63.
Right, so he's got a lot of time.
So he's just going to be hanging out in the 60s.
Right.
And that in itself is very interesting.
Yeah, it was. It was very interesting. I don't want to give too much away because people might want to, like, check it out. But I guess my critique of it was, like, I kind of wanted to hear more of the conspiracy behind it. I mean, I guess maybe that's been done before in other, you know, films and stuff like that. But I wanted them to explore that a little bit more, whereas they were much more involved with, like, the life that James Franco, I don't even remember his real name, in the movie. Jake, okay. The life that he kind of discovers along the way, which, I mean, was interesting in itself. And yet, at the same time, I was kind of like, get back to the point. Get back to the Russians, and they did spend a lot of time with that.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, but I felt like they could have explored a little bit more.
It was a little bit more romance than we were expecting.
Yeah, and which I didn't mind.
Yeah.
But I guess when I was going into it, I was thinking it was one thing and it kind of turned.
And also, like, the ending we felt was, like, a little lackluster.
Yes.
And not a lot of payoff.
No.
And also, but they did discover something really crazy and big at the end. But we only spent 5 minutes with it.
Yes.
And so we're like, what? That could have been half of the show.
Exactly. Exactly. And we were like, well, why didn't you spend time there instead of doing these other things that don't really matter?
And the reason why we're being vague is because we're not trying to give anything away.
Right.
But I think it's worth a watch because it's a one-time thing.
It was only 8 episodes.
It was 8 episodes. There's not a season 2. This is truly an event series.
Right.
It's not like, oh, if we get the ratings, we'll have a season. No, this is a one-off story. That's all you're going to get. I think it's worth watching. But for us, it wasn't a knockdown drag out. It wasn't like, oh my gosh, you have to watch this.
Yeah, I don't think I would go to someone and say, like, you have to watch this. But I think, I mean, if you're looking, are you bored?
Yeah. Sure. Like, if you're looking for a new show to watch, like,
right.
And something that you don't have to commit a lot of time to.
True.
Or invest new emotions.
It's
or
a
years.
Nice binge, like a nice weekend binge. Or
absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's the best way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been a whole lot better, but it was by no means bad.
No. Yeah. It was interesting. What else have we watched?
Well, we watched Sicario.
Oh,
because
yeah.
We're on a Villeneuve kick.
Right.
Because we liked Arrival. We love Blade Runner 2049.
Of course, you guys all know that.
We all know that, so we wanted to kind of go back. And, you know, I think there's not too terribly much to say. I mean, like...
You liked it more than I did.
I liked it a lot. It was... I think it's definitely something that I feel everybody should watch because Denis Villeneuve, he focused very hard on giving you a realistic interpretation.
That is true.
Of things that happen on the border, across the border, underneath the border.
Right.
And how the U.S. retaliates, how the Mexican cartel retaliates. And it was a very gripping look into the craziness that happens in Juarez or in Phoenix and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very good portrayal of how many shades of gray there are.
Yeah, absolutely.
And everything. And of course, it's done in that Villeneuve style of mm-hmm. wide shots and sweeping pans of landscape and the drone of the music by Johansson. And
mm-hmm. He's got a great cinematographer, too.
It's Deakins again. Yeah. You know, it's the same cinematographer as Blade Runner. And I mean, the guy's a master. And so mm-hmm. it's beautiful to look at and it's very interesting. It's tense. But I think my main problem with it was the protagonist, Emily Blunt, was nowhere near as interesting as Benicio del Toro.
And at a few points, I was like, who is the protagonist? And I felt like they kind of wasted her character in some ways.
Yeah.
There's Sicario 2 coming out, and it looks like she's not in it. Yeah. And it's focused on, it looks like, the Benicio del Toro.
He's the lead. Yeah. Like, his name is top billing.
Right, yeah. Right. Which makes sense. And it would have even made sense in the last one. And yet, I don't know. It felt a little like we're not doing as much with this character. Not that you need to do anything with her character, but if you're going to call her the protagonist, it didn't feel like it.
Yeah, there were times when we spent more time with Benicio del Toro and showed his journey and everything like that.
Right.
And it was just like, wow, this is gripping. This is great. And I felt engaged. When I was with Benicio del Toro, I felt engaged. I felt a part of it.
Right.
And when I was with Emily Blunt, I felt like an observer because she was an observer.
Right. Right. And that was her character.
Right.
But whereas Benicio del Toro had like a purpose, there was a reason why he was there.
Ditto.
Exactly. So it was interesting.
And so I liked it. I liked it more than you. Sicario 2 looks way more like an action film because yes. I would not describe Sicario as an action film.
No, I mean, there's action in it, but it's much more the ins and outs of like the behind the scenes.
It's much more of an intense drama and a thriller
right.
that has action in it.
Right.
But the trailer for the second one makes it like, oh, well, Villeneuve is clearly not directing this one.
Right.
But yeah, it's definitely worth a watch. I mean,
yeah, we're trying to catch up on his work.
Right. Which is very hard to do because we're like, no one's streaming it right now. But anyway, I think that's it. I think that's good.
Yeah.
I think this is kind of a catch up podcast on where we are with our media because media consumption is such a big part of our lives and a big part of our marriage because we always watch stuff together.
Yeah.
And one thing that we would love to know what you guys are watching right now. What do you recommend for us? Because
yeah.
we're always looking for a new show. And,
exactly. And
like,
you probably understand our taste by now if you're a longtime listener.
Yeah. If you're a longtime listener, you probably know what we're into, what we're not into, and what we're looking for and what we're not looking for. And so go to thenerdparty.com/contact and select Nerd Nuptial from the drop-down menu. Fill it out. Send us what you think. And also, if you have the time, if you like what you're doing, we would love a review on iTunes. If you give us a 5-star review, we'll mention you on the show.
I love you.
I know.
Scully.
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.